This evening, and the message tonight will be more on the inspirational side than doctrinal side, and try to give you a balanced diet so you won't be anemic Christians in this world that we live in. You need to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And just as a lady don't like to fix the same thing to eat every Sunday evening or every night for supper, the preacher's job is to spread the table with doctrine, correction, reproof, instruction, encouragement, all these things. The only problem I have is we got 600 people here, all of them wanting something different. So I'll have to do like Mama used to do. There it is. If you don't want it, don't eat. And that's the way she always used to do. She'd spread the table and say, if you don't eat that, you do without, right? And that's the way we do here. If you don't eat what's on the table, you just do without, I reckon. But it's a blessing tonight to have the Word of God to comfort us in these last days, and that's exactly what I'd like to try to do, is give you an encouragement tonight. Galatians chapter 6. Let's begin reading with verse number 1. I'll not be preaching on this thought, but it's a good verse to read every now and then. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Buddy, everybody ought to take a word of caution and warning from that verse. A lot of times when people mess up or get down, they're overtaken in a fault. We kick them and criticize them and say, buddy, if they is what they ought to be, they'd do this and that. Well, let me ask you a question. Is there anybody in here that's what they ought to be? Anybody? Can anybody in here raise their hand and say, I am everything I should be? And I believe a lot of times we drive people away from church by our attitude toward them when they mess up. We constantly, at any given time, we've probably got 20 church members that have messed up. And you make sure when you see that church member that your heart goes out to them, that your arm will pat them on the shoulder, and that you'll act with just as much love as you ever did, maybe more. If you shun them, a lot of people say, well, I saw so-and-so at town and I just didn't know what to say. There's the time when they need someone to come and say, hey, brother, hey, sister, I'm praying for you. If I can help you anyway, let me know. Lest you wind up in the same shape one of these days. Verse 2, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. There's what I'm going to preach on. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Now, does that sound like a contradiction, verse 5 and verse 2? Verse 2 says, bear you one another's burdens. Verse 5 says, every man will bear his own burden. Now, there's even a third thought to that. I've got to bear my own burden. I'm supposed to help you bear your burden, and at the same time throw my burden on the Lord. And you do all three of those in the Christian life. I'm carrying a burden tonight. Can you get me up just a little bit on this little one, Brother Roy? I'm carrying a burden tonight. Are you? My job is to help you carry yours. Your job is to help me carry mine. And at the same time, the Lord said, cast thy burden upon Him and He'll sustain you. Let's think for a few minutes tonight. Not just down just a hair. On bear ye one another's burdens. Most churches that I know anything about tonight are really failing in this point. But just as sure as thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery is a command of God, this is also a command of God tonight that we bear one another's burdens. I want to ask you to turn to a couple more verses here in just a moment. But as a way of an introduction tonight, the thought is this. Suppose that I were going down the road, and I saw Brother John here, and his cow, he don't have a cow, I don't guess, but let's say he had a cow in the pasture, and his cow got out in the road and got run over. And poor Brother John, that thing was just maybe about half grown, and somehow or another, he had got underneath that thing and got two legs in this hand and two legs in that hand and got underneath that load and went like this and raised it up
and had that cow on his back. And like a man carrying a deer out of the forest that he had shot, he was going down the road like this. Because he knowed even that thing was, dead, there's a lot of good meat in it. So he's going to try to get it back out to the, up to the house, lest it rot. And he's going down through there, and he's coming up the road like this, and sweat is just dripping off of his face. Well, about that time, by help, I come down the road. And I come down the road that day, because he loved me, my Savior died. Well, that looked like Brother John. Now stop and go, that's the way he put my car in reverse. And then I left, and I back up like this. And I roll down the window, I'll be it is, John. And I roll down the window and I say, hey, brother, what in the world are you doing? He said, my cow died. Went out on the road. got killed. I couldn't think of a better illustration. I just thought of it just now. My cow died. Can't you see what I'm doing? He's like, I'm out here for my health. And I said, well, brother, I hate that. I'm sorry. And I say, God bless you. Because he loved me. Brother, I think you're doing a tremendous job, but I can never help you. Let me know. What would he think? Y'all shut up, Danny. I hear that talk. Don't run your mouth. If you care about me, get out here and help me carry this thing back to my house. What if I go to him and I said, Brother John, I know that must be very hard on you. My heart goes out to you, brother, while you carry that heavy load. I want you to know, if there's anything I can ever do to help you, you let me know. Have you ever been down and out and carrying the heaviest burden of your life and needed somebody just to spill the beans on her, somebody's shoulder to crouch, and some well-meaning hypocrite come by and pat you on the shoulder and say, if there's anything I can ever do, just let me know. That's about as far as our Christianity goes. Brother, we just say, well, God bless you. I feel for you. Depart, be you warmed and filled. Well, Christianity ain't much these days except talk. Do you know that? I'll give you the illustration. You've heard me give it before. Of preachers, you know. A lot of preachers, we're guilty of it. Just running our mouth and never really helping nobody. The story of this preacher, he's walking down the beach, you know. And he's walking along there whistling, looking at the sky and the sand. And there's this guy out there drowning. And he's going down for the third time. He's going like that. And the preacher stops and says, yes, I see that hand. And goes on. That's powerful, ain't it? That's about the way it goes nowadays. That's about the extent of our Christianity. You know as well as I know that about 90% of our Christianity is nothing more than words. 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 The Bible said, love not in word only, but in deed and in truth. I'm sick and tired of hearing you say you love Jesus, hearing us say we love Jesus. Brother, it's time that we got under the burden that our brothers and sisters carry and show that we love God and love each other, don't you think? It's easy to stand up and pop off about how you love the Lord and shout and praise God. And I believe in all that. And I'm for all that. Let me see you do something. Let me see you do something. How many people you went and witnessed to lately? How many people have you took the gospel to lately? How many people who's been sick lately have you went over and cleaned up their house? Or maybe took them some groceries? Or maybe asked them, could you help them out? Mow their grass? Or do something like that? Our Christian, you know why the world don't want to hear us a lot of time? Because our Christianity stops when we walk out these doors here. We get in here more like we're the most holy thing in the world. But when we go out there, brother, it's dog eat dog, every man for himself. And God's not pleased with it like that. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 13 just a second. Now let's look at a few verses of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 13. You know what I'm preaching on? I'm preaching on we ought to help each other. There's always somebody in the church needing help. I don't necessarily mean financial. It may mean just a shoulder to cry on. It may mean somebody to pray with. It may mean just a word of encouragement. That could go a long way. Look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 3. Hebrews 13 verse 3. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Now, brother, that verse says that we, when somebody's in bad shape, that our heart ought to go out to them. I think our Dorcas Club is one of the greatest things that our church is involved in. I really do. We're involved in a lot. We put out tapes all over the country. The youth choir goes singing. I've preached, I reckon, in probably nearly 30 churches this year besides this church. And you know, I travel all the time and I meet a lot of people and see a lot of things, but I honestly think that our Dorcas Club is one of the greatest works that this church is involved in. You know why? When I go off and preach somewhere, lots of times as an illustration, I'll tell about what the ladies in our Dorcas Club does. And people will sit there and their mouths drop open. Their eyes get that big around. I tell them, and y'all better do this because I'll be lying if you ain't. I got up there and I told them, I said, when there's a lady in our church goes to the hospital and she has an operation, when she comes home and she's too sick to do anything, the ladies carry her meals for 2 or 3 days. And sometimes it may be a couple, sometimes it may be 1 or 3 or 4. We have done it a week at a time. That means that some ladies in this church get up and work and do their housework. Some of them work on a job, go to the grocery store, spend hard-earned money cooking food for another person who's having it rough. Now, brother, I thank God for that. I believe in that. I believe God will bless anybody who puts forth an effort to help somebody else carry the load. There's a lot of people in bad, bad shape. I remember there's a couple, I believe both of them's dead now. I used to visit over yonder in East Marion. And I'd go knock on their door every once in a while, just passing through, maybe once a year. And I walked in there and there laid the old fella, the man of the house, on a bed. He was stretched out across that bed and he was so pitiful. Every time I'd go in there, my heart, it just felt like it's bleeding. And he'd be laying there, the house was, it just old wood floors. Wasn't even shiny hardwood floors, just painted wood floors, you know, and the paint was chipped off the walls, and here'd come the wife through the house. And she'd come through there walking like this, and she'd say, "Hey, Brother Danny." And I'd say, "How you doing, sister?" and call her name. And brother, my heart would break. I said, "How's Pop doing over there?" She says, "He ain't doing no good. We just got him out of the hospital." And I'd walk over there and there he laid, flat on his back. That poor woman, she couldn't even take care of herself, let alone that man. I don't know how she got his clothes. I don't know how she got him changed. She could barely move. He was almost laying there in his own filth. And boy, I tell you, my heart would break. And I'd get down up. We took him groceries over there. One time we had the kids, the girls, make them some cookies and stuff during Bible school and took it over there to a woman. Oh, my heart would just go out to them. And I thought, one of another lady, one time during Bible school, we took some of the boys. Somebody said, "There's a dear lady, lives out in PG, and she's crippled and can't get out. She's new in the community." We sent some boys out there, teenage boys, with lawnmowers. And they went out there and mowed that dear lady's grass. I didn't think nothing about it till the next evening. I pulled up there in the churchyard, and there sat a lady in a car. And she said, "Are you the preacher?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Come here a minute." She introduced herself. She said, "I'm so-and-so, so-and-so." And she said, "I just want you to know that was the nicest thing that anybody has ever done for me." She said, "I've lived here in this community for ever so long," ever how long she had. She said, "There's been churches around all over where I live. There has not one church been to my house and offered, could they do anything for me? There has not been one church." I say to you tonight, there are 150 churches in McDowell County. It is a crying shame and a disgrace that people are sitting around all over this county, and the only hope they ever get is from the social services or the welfare, when God's people ought to have enough of a burden to go help somebody else that needs help in a time of need. You know what that woman done? She wrote me out a check and gave it to our church. You never know. You never know how rich some of them old folks might be. Now, I know you ain't supposed to think like that, but I heard of that happening one time. I heard about a preacher who went and visited this old lady who stunk or something. Nobody wouldn't have nothing to do with it. And he went down there and just sat and talked to her one day in a swing. And they sat there and he said, "Well, it's a nice little place you got here, ma'am. You know the Lord loves you and I have a word of prayer with you." And da 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 da. And just talked to her for a few minutes and had a word of prayer. And she said, "Now who are you?" And he said, "It was Jack Hyle." He said, "I'm Jack Hyle, pastor of First Baptist Church. And you know, I believe it was Brother Hyle. And you know what? That lady was a millionaire and left her will to that church." Boy, you caught the burden then, didn't you? Hallelujah. Preacher, where's me an old rich lady to go see? Well, that ain't the right attitude. That ain't the right attitude. That might happen one out of a thousand, but we ought to do it to them that are not rich. Hey, I'll bet you a rich person will move in this community and some of the preachers will wind up going to see them. Old Jimmy, you know, Jimmy Robbins said, he said down there in Calpin, you know, everybody, they think everybody that goes to his church is rich. They're not, but that's what people think are. He said one of his church members get sick and go to the hospital, there'll be four preachers get there to visit them before he can. You know, people go after that money, boy, but what about that old drunk that's laying over here on the railroad track? There's one less in Marion now, you know, after the other day. What about buying somebody's burdens? What about, it's beyond the Mosaic law, it's the law of Christ. Let's read John 7:23. Let's look at a few more scriptures, and I'm going to hurry. John 7:23. And we'll read beyond the Moses law, and look at the book of John 7:23. Then when you get John 7:23, look at Romans 7:22. John 7:23, and when you get that, and Brother Bobby, I want you to get ready to read that, and Brother Sam, I want you to get Romans 7:22, and when I point at you, you stand up and turn around and read that real loud, okay? Now we're looking at bearing one another's burden. Are you ready, Brother Bobby? All right, go ahead, John 7:23, right now. Now the Lord was saying there, he said, "You guys think the law of Moses shouldn't be broken, and you'll circumcise a baby on the Sabbath day just so you won't break Moses' law. Why are you mad at me? Because I'm doing something." All right, ready to go? Go ahead, Brother Sam. Romans 7:22.
"For I delight in the law of God after the inward man."
Now, 15:2. John 15:2. Brother Bobby. John 15:2. The law of God after the inward man goes much further than that outward ceremonial law in the Old Testament. Go ahead, Brother Bobby. 15:20.
"Every branch in me
that bears
fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth much fruit."
12. Read verse 12. All
right. "This is my commandment, that you love one another.
There you go. That ye love one another as I have loved you." You know what the Pharisees' sin was? The Pharisees' sin, and that's going to be our temptation in these last days, is to heap heavy burdens on people and they wouldn't touch them with their little finger. But the church in those days, the so-called church in those days, was saying, "You got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this, you got to do that, you're going to hell, you're going to hell, you're going to hell, because you ain't like her." And they wouldn't touch one of them with a little finger. Brother, I believe independent Baptists are guilty of the same stinking low-down sin. But boy, we look down our nose out there at the world and say, "You sorry sinners. Why, you bunch of sinners over at the pool hall. You bunch of sinners out here, Harley, and all that." When we won't bend one finger to help them out. Amen. If a man thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. You ever help sharing a load? You may make the difference between somebody backsliding. You know, I'm a type of person, I'm going to talk to you right out of my heart a minute, and then I'm going to give you something off the subject and get back on it. I'm the type of person, I'm just not natured to push myself on people. I just can't do it. A lot of times when I'm witnessing and stuff, I try to get the door open, and if a door don't open, a lot of times I just back off, and I reckon that's a fault. I should push a little harder. That's why the Lord sent Bruce here. He don't know when to quit. But me, I'm natured. You know, if somebody does something, well, if I don't, I just go on, don't say nothing. You know, I feel real bad about intruding, you know, just pushing myself on people. I'm always afraid that people will say, well, good night, boy, that preacher, you know, he's trying to cram his religion down my throat. I don't want, you know, to give people that impression.
But there's been a lot of times it's hurt me because I'm natured that way. You wouldn't believe it. I've had a lot of people tell me lately, they said, you're shy. You know, and I get up here and scream, run around, jump and all, but really, in a way, I am a shy person. You know, when Brother Malone was here, y'all seen that? I about died just with him, him preaching. And I, in a lot of ways, I'm that way. But, and you know why that's hurt me? Because there's been a lot of times when I saw a brother or sister going down spiritually, and I felt like, well, maybe I ought to say something to them. But then I thought, well, no, that won't be none of my business, and I don't want to judge them, and they'll think I'm sticking their nose, you know, and I don't want to be critical because maybe they're... And I keep thinking they'll snap out of it, and first thing you know, they're out of church. When maybe if I'd have just went and put my arm around them and said, brother, are you okay? You okay? Is there anything I can help you pray about? That might have been the thing that helped that person stay, keep their life in church. And might have made the difference of where their kids went to heaven or hell someday. It's very important. Now listen, folks. Let's talk straight just a minute. Y'all do know tonight that we've got enemies. The world out there does not approve of this church. We are all we've got. There's some of you people here tonight, the only family you got, these sitting right around in here tonight, your own flesh and blood kin, if push come to shove, really wouldn't care if you live for God or not. They don't care. A lot of them, if you serve God, or if you quit and go back out and see, a lot of them probably be happy. You know what that means? We got to get our encouragement from each other in here. We got to get it. Did you know, I wanted to bring a whole message on this, but I'll just mention a few things right quick and I'll go on. Did you know, just a hair, Brother Roy, I'm just going to talk for a minute. Did you know the devil's doing everything in his power to destroy morality, church, this thing about Jim Baker? And I mean, I know some of you get mad when I say this, but honest to goodness, I can't help feel sorry for that man. I know some of you think I'm stupid. But Lord, chain him up like a dog. Watch it. Yankees ain't got no heart. Now, listen, I'm not condoning what Jim Baker did. Honest to goodness. And he should have been brought down off his high horse. But I don't, at my heart, I'm just a sucker, I reckon. I feel sorry for him. And I feel sorry for anybody that's been treated like him. I mean, I know he done wrong, but the way I figure, God will take care of him. And the way I also figure, some of them lawyers and some of them crew down around Charlotte, they've probably done twice worse than he has. The truth is known. But anyway, I said all that to say this. Christianity's suffering. We're being made a mockery. Let me just give you some things right quick. Now I'm just going to give you a few popular television shows, and this is a little break in the message, and show you the message that's being put in young people's minds. On June 30th, NBC had a movie on primetime TV. I'm not talking about cable TV, HBO, Hill's Box Office, Send to the Max, and all that stuff. I'm talking about regular television. Paternity. And this movie teaches that it is not abnormal or immoral for a single macho hero to buy a woman for services to have a baby for him so he can be the father. They have homosexual and bisexual jokes throughout the whole 2 hours, and it goes on and on and on. As them finally winding, falling in love and getting married, as she goes into the delivery room after he paid her to have a baby for him. CBS. This is an episode, June 19th of this year, of Kate and Allie. I'm going to read it to you. It sent mixed messages about a teenage boy and girl living together. Jenny and Ben, I reckon that's one of them's daughter,
Jenny and Ben are living together as in a co-ed dorm in college. Her daughter goes off to college, and she's shacking up with her boyfriend in the dormitory. When Mother Allie finds out, Allie's friend Kate shrugs her shoulders and says, "What's so terrible? That's what kids are doing today." You hear me? She says, "My teenage daughter's shacking up with her boyfriend." So Kate says, "What's wrong with that? Everybody's doing it nowadays." Now, what kind of a message is that putting in young people's head? Who's the Dumbo in the picture? The woman that thinks it's awful? That ain't all. Listen to the rest of it. I'm going to quote you. I've never watched none of these shows. I don't even know what they're about. But anyway, it says this. Allie goes, her mama, to the illicit love nest to confront Ben and Jenny, who say, quote, "Look, Mom, try not to get excited." Any of you red-blooded mamas and daddies in here tonight, if your daughter told you she's shacking up with a boyfriend, would you get excited? Well, you're letting them preach the opposite into your kid's head. Listen to this. "I'll try," says Allie, and then explodes. "Just what the blank is he doing here? What's going on here?" "Mom," Jenny persists, "it just makes so much sense. We're in love. Look, can't you just try and be reasonable?" Now, what you hearing here? You're hearing that Mom is unreasonable. You're hearing that Mom is too excited and can't control herself because she thinks it's wrong for them to shack up. I'm saying the devil out there is working on us. Our enemies are out there, folks. We sure ought to help each other. Listen to this. Allie responds, "You're 18 years old, and as long as your father and I are paying for your tuition, your meal plan, and paying you for to live with a girl in this dorm, you will do so." Am I making myself perfectly clear? Eventually, Jenny and Ben decide to get married, but Allie yells about that too. Friend Kate says, the show's voice of reason, sticks her nose in again, at the risk of getting yelled at. "Maybe you shouldn't have yelled at them." "Oh yes, I should have," she says, the hot-tempered mother. "They're too young to get married, they're just teenagers." "Yes," says the level-headed Kate, "but they're teenagers in love. Why don't you just go ahead and give in and let them live together?" "No way," concludes Mom. Ironically, the couple decide they will neither marry nor live together. Despite that resolution of the plot, the message is clear. Here's the message of that program, June 19th on CBS. The message is this. Mom is totally irrational. The children are wise beyond measure, and Mom should pay for her 18-year-old daughter a room to shack up with her boyfriend in. Here's another one. Heartland, that was on CBS. In a conversation, a man asked, "Do Jewish people go to heaven too? I mean, if they're good. What about Muslims and Buddhists?" "Well, there's nothing to it, Gus," says Grandpa. "They all go to heaven. And the Lord meets them at the gate and shakes hands with them and converts them and makes them just like us." Casey then clarifies, "The answer is yes. Everybody that deserves to get in heaven gets in. You just be the best person you can, and God takes care of the rest." NBC's L.A. Law, July 6th on NBC, championed the cause of a homosexual when the plot, an Olympic star, and a closet homosexual just had a major ad contract with a cereal company, and he's going to start doing commercials for a cereal company. And then all of a sudden, the company finds out he's a homosexual and cancels his contract. So he sues the company. When they go to court, they find out, his attorney finds out, that he gets in a situation where Judge O'Neill, the guy in charge of the case, is also a homosexual. And he twists it and uses it around so a homosexual judge tries the case so he'll rule in his favor. And the judge fools him and rules in favor with the cereal company. And then they bring retroaction on the judge and say, "Hey, we'll make your homosexuality an issue in the next election and you won't get your job back if you don't rule in favor of us." Mention that with two other steamy bedroom scenes with other people in the movie and you got primetime television. Yeah, it sounds bad in here, but somehow or another, when you're sitting watching it at home, it don't seem bad, does it? Viewers are treated to two normal homosexual characters, and they both come out nice guys. Oh, have you heard the latest craze on television? Making heroes out of rapists. Rapists turn into heroes. ABC's General Hospital Luke raped Laura. Laura not only refused to name Luke as her attacker, but she eventually fell in love with him and married him. That's the latest twist in the perverted soap operas. That's this Beauty and the Beast stuff, see?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you hit me. But I'm in love. And I can't help myself. And all the women just sit down going, oh.
Yeah.
See, the wilder the better, man. They get wrapped up in those things. Well, a woman went in a revival meeting up in the mountains not long ago. She was all taught in the prayer meeting and says, pray for so-and-so. They got to be operated tomorrow in General Hospital. Pray they'll come through the operation, all right. I get into them things, brother. It's a bunch of baloney. In Ryan's... Ross, all my children, as the world turns, have become rapist heroes. What am I saying, brother? Every 22 minutes in America, another life is lost because of a drunk driver. Boy, you know something? I'm all for this drug bit. War on drugs. It's a big thing nowadays. Thank God. They ought to go over Columbia. What they ought to do is take some planes and go over Columbia and warn them. Say, you got 10 minutes. Get out of them places. That's right. You want to stop cocaine? I can tell you exactly how to do it. You have exactly 10 minutes. Our kids are laying up there on the streets dead. They're banging their heads on the wall in rehabilitation centers. They're in emergency rooms. You have 10 minutes to get out. And when the 10 minutes is gone, boom, no more cocaine. You think that's going to happen? Are you kidding? We'll get them in there and say, naughty, naughty. Now don't sell no more crack, no more. You might go to jail. Well, who cares, man? In jail, you get all the dope you want. You got pool hall and a table and it's air conditioned. Your girlfriend gets to come see you once a week. Put me in jail. I like some free room board, man. Brother, I didn't mean to get off on all this. I promised I wasn't going to be too arrogant. Let me read you this. This doctor is performing an abortion. And the baby screams and scares him till he quits. Here's what happens in an abortion. An abortionist in Sweden vowed never to kill another baby after a 10-week-old baby he was aborting screamed. You know how he knew it screamed? As he was aborting it, air bubbles can occur during an abortion, and a baby of that age has functional vocal cords. All that was needed was for a bubble to locate over the baby's mouth during the abortion. It was screaming. Dr. Mats Watkill declared, quote, I'll never perform another abortion as long as I live, and I'll never forget that scream. And on and on and on and on and on. What am I saying? I'm saying, buddy, we need each other. We sure ain't going to get no help out there. We ain't going to get no help out there. Most of our love talk and love songs and love preaching is nothing but a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. You say, I'll love the Lord, preacher. I'm going to do something for him. We're going to give you your chance here coming up in a few weeks when we start that program. You know what we need? We need probably 4 or 5 people to get a burden for the bus ministry. Help with driving. Help with helping them little kids and get them in and get them out and situate them during Sunday school and our B Sunday school. I wonder a lot of times, are we just all talk? How much of our Christianity will go up in smoke at the judgment? Brother, one of these days, we'll be shocked, I'm sure. I heard about an old man who loved the Lord. And somebody was sitting here watching him. He's sitting on the park bench.
real old fella, I guess, you know, an old black coat on the thing. And he got up, and he got up and walked away like this, and he dropped a little notebook. And a nearby Christian saw that notebook after the man was gone and went over and picked it up and began to flip through it. And it had written on the notebook, "For his body's sake, for the church's sake." He said, "All this stuff is for the Lord." And he opened it up and he read stuff like this. These were out of Sunday school. And he had a few names wrote down there. In other words, that old man just went to church and he'd look around to see who wasn't there and he'd write their name down. He had on the next page, "Ask them about their sick baby." See, he had heard about somebody having a baby sick and he wrote it down in his notebook that week. "Ask so-and-so about his sick." He went up on Sunday. I said, how's your baby doing? You know what? This lady told me just the other day, and I know our church is real good about stuff like this, but this upset this one woman. This one woman who's gunned our church lots and lots of times has had a daughter who is real sick, and she told me, she said, "Nobody ever asked me how my daughter's doing." And I felt guilty because I thought, how many times? Now, are you like me? You hate to just come up and mention something like that. I know a lot of people tell me, they say, "Well, Brother Danny, I wanted to say something to you a lot of times about, you know, how you're doing and everything, but I just didn't want..." You know, you feel awkward just walking up to somebody saying, "How so-and-so?" You don't want to sound, you don't want to be nosy. But you know, people notice stuff like that. People notice if you care about them. They can tell. And if there's one thing our church, everybody comes in here and says, "Oh, what a beautiful building. Great, wonderful, big deal." Who can't have a beautiful building? They're a dime a dozen. You know what I'd like for people to be able to say about this church? All over McDowell County. They say, "Well, I'll tell you one thing. I can stand up preaching and screaming and hollering and some of the things they preach and all this. But there's one thing about that bunch. They do care about people." Amen? That's one thing we ought to be guilty of. We have no right to exist as a church if our heart don't go out. When I see them buses rolling in on Sunday morning, them little kids getting off of them, some of them's here tonight. It's pitiful. It'll break your heart. Some of them get no breakfast at home. The only breakfast they eat is up there in our building, in the old building. Some of them wear the same clothes every Sunday. They've been raped. Some of them, they've had cigarettes held to them. They've been left for a day or two. Some of them by themselves. And a lot of them, when they see our bus workers coming knocking on their door, just runs to him and grabs him and hugs her neck. That's the only person they know of that really loves him. He had on the next page, "Leave fruit for the blind lady. Speak a word of cheer to the crippled man. Invite new family to church." There's just something about it. When you carry a load with your brother, it makes your load seem lighter. You know, me being the preacher, I don't have nobody. I don't have a pastor. Matter of fact, most of my Christian life, I have nobody that I can just really go to. And, you know, I'm supposed to be strong and cool and keep it all in and never need to unload. But there's been a few times when I felt like I was going to bust. I'll never forget one night I was coming back from revival, and it seemed like the devil and 200 demons jumped on me. The service didn't go too good that night. I was having a lot of personal problems. We was writing our building program. And honest to goodness, I thought I was going to crack up. I passed the Nebo exit, went straight on out to the Ashworth Road exit, and got off out there and went up to Brother Dale's house. I didn't even know if he'd be up. I remember knocking on the door. Brother Dale came to the door. I said, "Brother, I need to talk to you." You know, I try to keep up this big, strong image. Not me, not Brother Danny. I never need no help. But that night, I was about to crack. And I went in there and sat down, and I said, "Brother, I just wanted somebody to help me pray. I'm in bad shape." I said, I need somebody to..." And I just poured it out to him. And you know, Brother Dale sat there and listened. And him and his wife talked to me. And we prayed. He didn't give me no money. He just prayed with me and patted me on the back and told me he loved me. And when I left there, I felt like $1 million. There's just something about Somebody helping you bear your load. Somebody said this. The crossing was muddy. The street was wide. And the water was running on either side. The wind whistled past with a bitter moan as I made my weary way alone. In crossing the street, I chanced to pass a boy in the arms of a small wee lass. Isn't he heavy, my sweet little mother? Oh, no, she replied. He's my baby brother. Thy load may be heavy, the road may be long, the winds of adversity bitter and strong, but the way will seem brighter if you love one another, and your burden will be lighter if you'll carry a brother. Remember that old song, He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother? That's what I thought of when I read that little poem. Because that was her little brother. Said, man, ain't he heavy carrying across this mountain? No, he's my brother. And brother, if we'll carry a brother, our load will seem much lighter. All right, what I want you to do right now, Brother John, they come and get us a song. What I want you to do right now is just bow your heads, close your eyes, and I want every one of us to totally get our minds off of our problems. Can we do that? Everybody, get your mind totally off of your problem. And you think of that person sitting beside you, or that person right in front of you, or somewhere back, three or four pews back, or several pews, or even on the other side of the building. And I want you to tell the Lord right now, Lord, by your grace, I want to do something nice for somebody and help them carry their load. You wouldn't believe how much easier your problems will be if you'll help somebody else. Bake them a cake. Write them a card. I get cards every now and then, little notes. Boy, it just blesses my heart. I got one the other day from a sister, brother here in the church. Said, we're praying for you and we love you. A few weeks ago, I got a nice card, and that card said, it had just a perfect verse on it. It was just for me, boy. Just like whoever wrote that thing wrote it for me. And it had a nice, I thought, man, somebody's thinking about me. Went to a bookstore and bought that thing. You don't have to be rich to do something like that. We need to bear one another's burden. And so fulfill the law of Christ. Dear God in heaven, help us to keep our minds on each other and off ourselves. God, we know the world out there, they sure ain't going to build up a church and edify it. Lord, we know it's got rotten to the core and it's getting worse. Dear God in heaven, please. Dear God in heaven, please help us to care about one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing tonight.
307.
All right, let's sing.
Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with Him within the narrow road?
Amen.
Would you have Him bear your burden, carry all your load? Let Him have His way with thee.
Sing.
His power can make you what you ought to be. Heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see. 'Twas best for Him to have His way with thee.
All right, everybody sit down just a minute, again, just a second. Music's playing real soft. Well, let's take just a minute. Now, I could tell you a bunch here tonight, but I know you hear mine all the time. Who could stand up here tonight and say, I was down, I was in need, and so-and-so done such-and-such, and tell what a blessing it was to you? Go ahead right now. Stand up. Amen. That's what a church is supposed to be, folks. That's what a church... You listen to this religious crowd out here, they'll get you all messed up. Go ahead, Brenda. I remember that. That was fun. How many of you was with us that night we went out there and sung on their carport? That was a blessing, wasn't it? Amen. Go ahead, sister. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. What about that? Amen. That boy just got saved this morning. Now, I tell you what, ain't that something?
Amen.
Amen. Appreciate Brother Bobby Dobson. Cared about him. He works at Jarrett Honda in Morganton at the Honda place. And he'd been witness to this brother, other guy here. And he got saved this morning. He's back in church tonight. Ain't that something? Hey, buddy, a little word go a long way. There's somebody that you work with. You could get right in here and get them saved. Amen. 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 Her mother just died 2 weeks ago, wasn't it? About three. And she appreciates all everything the church done for her. Go ahead, brother. Send Jim Baker a nice card. Amen. Amen. Go ahead. About that. Since about February with his back, and I'd been gone so many Wednesday nights, and I kept saying, boy, when I get back I want to help Roy Lee out. So I called Bruce one day and I said, give him the bus offering tonight. I think
ought to help him out a little bit. He said a lot of you had done that. I didn't know you'd done that. Amen. Have I told you my back's been hurting lately? I'll be standing right over here at the end of the service. It's killing me right now. No. Anybody else? Every time I try to get real serious, I do something like that. Anybody else? Amen. Amen. Amen.